I let you have all the thunder this time.
Thank you. I didn't have to bring the rumble, rumble, bing, bang, thunder, wonder.
Nope. No ram-a-lamma ding dong this week.
Right. No rammer jammers. Shit. That's from Desperate Housewives, in case anyone was wondering. My favorite show in the world. And my name's Daphne, and I'm the self-proclaimed number one biggest Desperate Housewives fan in the world.
My name is Gail, and I've seen it once. But it was pretty funny.
It was pretty good.
Obviously, you think it's more than pretty good, but...
Yeah, I mean, way more than pretty good. It's, like, fucking phenomenal. Best show ever made. Love it to bits and pieces. It's my comfort show. I watch it at least once a year, and right now we're on the second time this year, and it's July 4th today.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're losers. We're recording on July 4th, but well, it's fine. It's
still daytime.
Yeah, our dog got bit by a bee or bit, stung. She didn't get bit by a bee. She got stung. Either that or got bit by a spider. It's been a day.
Yeah.
We
have had a day.
Her whole face swelled up, so now she looks like a little Shar Pei.
Poor Winnie.
Winifred. My girl. All right, Mama, what's your disturbing fact?
My disturbing fact is, and you'll know this. You will know this story. This is Mike the Headless Chicken.
Oh, God.
Yes. And this is Fruta, Colorado. So it's like right outside of Grand Junction, which is on the western slope. The banana belt. Because it's warmer in that part of the state. On the other side. It's on the western part of the state.
The western slope.
This is a story of Mike the Headless Chicken. On September 10th, 1945, farmer Lloyd Olson of, again, Fruta, Colorado, was planning to eat supper with his mother-in-law and was sent out by his wife to bring back a chicken. He chose a 5.5-month-old chicken named Mike, and then he swung the axe and he missed the jugular. And so he didn't kill the chicken, obviously, but he removed the bulk of its head, leaving one ear and most of the brainstem intact. And like I said,
and that's how it lived.
And he missed the jugular vein. So that's the big thing of it, because if he would have hit the jugular, he would have bled out. He would have bled out regardless of, hitting the brainstem or not. But anyway, so he has a brainstem. He has a jugular.
Good for Mike.
He has half of an ear, so he can or one ear, so he can still listen and, do chicken stuff, kind of.
mostly do chicken stuff.
Yep.
Well, he was a rooster, yeah, because he's Mike the Headless Chicken.
He's a chicken.
Oh, so they just named him Mike?
I guess. I don't know. Mike the Headless Chicken. I can't confirm or deny if he's a rooster. They don't call him Mike the Headless Rooster.
That's fair.
So I'm going to go with he was a chicken. Despite Olson's attempt to behead Mike, the chicken was still able to balance on a perch and walk clumsily. And he attempted to preen himself. So that's like when they clean themselves. Peck for food and crow. Obviously wasn't super successful. Yeah, at any of those things. And when he was doing his crowing, instead of crowing, it was like a constant gurgling sound that he made. Oh. Right? Poor Mike.
Yeah.
So when he didn't die, the farmer decided to care for the bird. And he gave it a mixture of milk and water in an eyedropper and gave it small grains of corn and worms so he could survive. Needless to say, Mike the Headless Chicken became a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because, word gets around when you have a headless chicken that's alive and walking around and...
Right, especially in the 40s.
Yeah. So he was in sideshows as an anomaly next to like a two-headed baby and stuff. So that's a whole different disturbing fact. We'll find that some other time. And he was also photographed for dozens of magazines, papers, and he was featured in Time and Life magazines. Mike was also put on display for the admission of 25 cents, which is equivalent to $3 now. And at the height of his popularity, Mike's owner was earning $4,500 a month. Mike's value was 10 grand. Now in our day, it'd be about 135,000-ish.
Jeez.
Right?
I feel like you could probably just do this to your own chicken.
Well, it was an accident, as they said. In March of 1947, at a hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, a stopover while traveling back from his tour, because Mike was on tour, he started choking in the middle of the night, and he managed to get a kernel of corn stuck in his throat. The Olsons had inadvertently left their feeding and cleaning syringes at the sideshow the day before, so they were unable to save Mike, because they didn't have the tools to, extract the corn that he was choking on. But the Olson, the farmer, he claimed that he had sold the bird off, resulting in stories of Mike still being on tour as late as 1949. And other sources say that there's no way that he could have been alive anyway, because he couldn't breathe and he couldn't properly take in air. And so therefore, that's why he choked to death in the hotel, because he couldn't breathe. And when he got the kernel of corn stuck.
Poor chicken.
Poor chicken.
That's so sad.
That is sad. Mike the Headless Chicken has a huge legacy in Fruta, Colorado. There's like a statue of him, or it's like a bronze statue kind of thing in the middle of town. And they have an annual Mike the Headless Chicken Day. It's the third week of May. They've been doing it since 1999. And the events include like a 5K headless chicken run, an egg toss, pin the head on the chicken, a chicken chuck off, chicken bingo, miscellaneous chicken related games, apparently.
Right.
Chick, 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 chick. Mike the Headless Chicken was also an inspiration for the poultry-themed punk band, comedy punk band, called the Radioactive Chickenheads. And he was the subject.
I've never heard of them.
Well, you know, that's probably not our genre of music. But he was also the subject of a song in 2008 called Headless Mike. And there was a video filmed. And the band is in there with like a Headless Mike the Chicken puppet. So anyway, that's my disturbing fact. Mike the Headless Chicken is the longest known chicken to live without a head, and he lived for 18 months.
Yes.
But he was a young chicken because he was only 5.5 months old.
He was a young chicken.
R.I.P. Mike.
Yeah, R.I.P. dude.
There you go.
Or chick.
Or chick.
Literally, ha ha ha.
All right, that's my disturbing fact.
I like it. I like it. I've heard of that one a bajillion times before, but I dig it because our listeners elsewhere maybe have never heard of that. And it's pretty cool. It's our home state that a headless chicken lived for 18 months in.
Yes.
By accident.
Supposed to be dinner. Didn't end up being dinner.
Nope. That's one hell of a chicken.
Right.
It's one lucky chicken. Although that must have fucking hurt like a bitch to have your head cut off.
Well, but I mean, never mind. I'm not even going to get into chicken mechanics.
That they can't feel anything.
Well, I don't know that they can't feel anything, but
oh, I don't know that they can't feel anything either, but they definitely can't taste anything.
Yeah. They don't have taste buds.
Yeah. I don't know if that's really lucky or unlucky, because sometimes I would like to eat spicy food without crying. But that sounds like a personal problem of my own that I have.
And I don't think you'd not want to taste anything.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No. So we'll post a picture of Mike the Headless Chicken, and then we'll post the picture of the bronze statue.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Yes.
But I'm not posting any pictures of maggot therapy and nasties.
Ugh, that's disgusting. We shouldn't have even brought that up again. Okay, Daff, so what do you have for us tonight, today, this fine 4th of July.
This fine 4th of July. I have a case request.
Nice.
Yes. By our Instagram follower, Katie Gregg. She requested this one. So she requested two things. She requested Cheeseman Park, but that is actually in one of our episodes, your episodes, Haunted Denver Metro, I believe, part two.
Yeah, the entire thing is about Cheeseman Park.
Well, there we go. The entire thing. I was going to say, whether you have one, two parts?
Two parts.
Two parts of it? Okay. Yeah. So you got to get cranking on more. A,
I do.
And B, the other one she requested is today's case, which is going to be about the Monroe House. Nice. So the Monroe House, by the way, shout out Katie. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for requesting a case.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. Finally. Right. It is located at 218 North Monroe Street in Hartford City, Indiana. I keep wanting to say Indianapolis. I don't know why that's what wants to float off my tongue. Indiana. It is in Indiana.
And it's on Monroe Street?
Yes.
Hence the name, the Monroe House?
Yes. In Hartford City.
All righty.
And the zip code is 47348.
What's the four-digit code after that? A little hyphen, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know what the mailing code is.
Oh, damn it, Daphne.
But if you know me in real life, you know I am absolutely fascinated with real estate. I watch all of those shows. I mean, like, I'm talking beyond Selling Sunset. I've been on HGTV for years.
Yeah.
So I had to look up. I know the house isn't for sale, but I had to look up, like, what it's worth and, like,
what it was. Do the whole Zillow thing?
Yeah, do the whole Zillow thing. So according to Realtor.com, the assessment of it today, it's worth $84,000.
Oh, that's not very much. But it is in Hartford City, Indiana.
Yeah, right.
So it's probably not a very booming metropolis.
No, absolutely not. And it was assessed in 2021 for $56,300, according to Zillow.
Oh, well, it's really come up in value then.
Yeah, it has. But yeah, still not crazy.
No.
It's 4 beds, 3.5 baths, roughly 3,000 square feet. It's 2 stories and it's white. It sits on top of a hill. And according to Trulia, there are 16 rooms in the home in total.
Nice.
And what I could find on Spokio said that it was last sold September 14th, 2005. But other sources said it was sold in 2003. But regardless, the same owner still owned it.
Okay. And it's really increased in value. So they've...
Yeah.
Yeah. They've made a solid investment.
Yeah. They've turned a little stem into a blossoming flower.
There you go. Unless it's super creepily haunted, which I'm guessing it is, given that we're covering it, you're covering it, and it was requested.
So it's commonly believed that the house was built in 1892 by John Berger, which he replaced with an old structure that was originally built in the 1960s.
1960s?
Or 1860s, I'm sorry. Okay. 1860s, yeah.
I'm like, so he
retroactively.
He got in his DeLorean and...
his hot tub time machine.
With a flux capacitor.
Right. So shortly after building the house, John Berger died from tuberculosis. And then the property was damaged by a fire that was happening in their shed.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Right. So his widow ended up renting out a portion of the home because it was too big for her and her family.
Well, 16 rooms.
Yeah.
How many kids do they have?
I couldn't really find much about the Berger family.
I hate that.
Yeah. I mean, I had a hard time finding out a lot of information on this case, point blank period. And it kept pointing me in the direction of the Zach Bagans house that he bought in Gary, Indiana.
Oh, the Demon House?
Yeah. Which this has been dubbed the Demon House.
But it's not the Demon House.
That's the Gary Demon House. This is the Demon House, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Gary Demon House and the Hartford City Demon House.
Yeah, exactly.
Zach, you can't buy it because they love it and live there.
Right. So anyway, the widow, she rented out a portion of the house to the Myers family. And Ulysses Myers, the dad, he was a well-respected community member. And after his family moved into the house, he became an angry and abusive man with no explanation for his behavior. And then, he was never like this before. He moved into the house, did like a complete 180, right?
Became a super douche.
Yeah. And so then he eventually took all of his family's money. And then he ran off with his mistress.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Super douche.
Super douche.
After, obviously, the death of the first owner and the unexplained behavior from the next tenant, people in the community of Hartford City were like, wow, this house seems like it's fucking cursed. So then over the next 100 years, no tenant would stay in the house for more than a year. And there were rumors around Hartford City that beginning in the 1990s, there was occult activity happening in the basement.
1990s or 1890s?
1990s.
Okay, just making sure we're in the right century.
Yeah, well, I said 100 years.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But you could have been backtracking. So occult activity.
I just wanted to look it up because I always get confused. Like, I know occult, I know myself, my own definition is that it's like related to something satanic. Mm-hmm. But the occult in a broader sense is a category of esoteric supernatural beliefs and practices which fall outside of the realm of organized religion. So this could be people practicing magic or divination. And people believe that occultism is demonic in dealing with Satan worshiping and sacrificing. And I'm going to read you long ass quote right now from Britannica.
Okay.
About
the occultism. The encyclopedia. Love it.
Yeah. Occult practices center on the presumed ability of the practitioner to manipulate natural laws for personal benefit or on behalf of another. Such practices tend to be regarded as evil only when they involve breaking of moral laws. Some anthropologists have argued that it is not possible to make a clear-cut distinction between magic, a principal component of occultism, and religion, and this may well be true of the religious systems of some non-literate societies. This argument does not hold, however, for any of the major religions, which regard both natural and moral laws as immutable. The Western tradition of occultism, as popularly received, is an ancient, quote, secret philosophy underlying all occult practices. This secret philosophy derives ultimately from Hellenistic magic and the alchemy on the one hand, and from Jewish mysticism.
Mysticism. You were right.
Okay. On the other hand, the principal Hellenistic source is the corpus. Oh.
Corpus delicti?
Her.
Also not corpus delicti.
Hermeticum, the text associated with Hermes or Hermes. Trismegistos, which are concerned with astrology and other occult sciences and with spiritual regeneration. The Jewish element is supplied by the Kabbalah, the doctrine of secret mystical interpretation of the Torah, which had been familiar to scholars in Europe since the Middle Ages and which was likely linked with the Hermetic texts during the Renaissance. So basically, that's about occultism, is that it's like drawing from all of these other places. But I'm going to read you the last sentence of this paragraph, is that basically the new forms of occultism, rather than Hermetic tradition, and on the other hand to spiritualism, the practice of alleged regular communication between the living and the spirits of the dead through a medium, and on the other hand of, it's a blend of Western occultism and Eastern mysticism. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
I just looked at my mom like, did I say that? That proved to be a most effective propagator of occultism, but its influence has like declined like crazy since the late 20th century. So
that's not a real big thing anymore.
No.
Because people are busy watching Selling Sunset.
Yeah. And Desperate Housewives, if they were smart. So yeah, that's occultism, which I hope that wasn't too long and too crazy and confusing. I just thought it was interesting, the background of it.
It is, because, you know, yeah, of course, my go-to in my brain is also that it's satanic rituals.
Right. Well, and it was also held up by the Freemasons and like during the period of Enlightenment and all of that. But then like the Freemasons eventually fell off of it because they couldn't find a philosophy within their Freemasonry.
So they're like, hey, this just doesn't really jive with our whole theme we have going on. So
right.
We're going to have to use this.
You know, it picked up during the 19th century when people began to reject Orthodox religion and, you know, look for salvation in other ways. So it picked up in that fashion as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I just thought it was super interesting to dive a little into that.
It is.
Because I don't know much about the history of it until I looked into it.
And now you do.
Now I do. I just always thought it was like people sacrificing shit, trying to like talk to spirits.
Well, the more you know.
Yeah. So the house was purchased by Pam and Eddie Norris. And like we said earlier, either in September of 2005 or sometime in 2003. And they're still the current owners today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read you a couple more quotes now about the house. And this is, this guy wrote a book. He says, it's called On Dark Ground. It's by Richard Estep. This is a quote by him. Indiana's Monroe House is a place of mystery and darkness and strange occurrences. Its reputation for occult rituals and violent paranormal activity has sent visiting investigators running off into the night. The discovery of human bones in the basement, whose identity remains unexplained to this day, may hold some of the answers, but the Monroe House holds its secrets close and has been known to lash out at those who spend time within the walls.
Ooh, bones in the basement?
We're going to dive further into that later.
Yeah, please do. Because I'm like, you can't just leave that.
I can't just leave that carrot dangling there.
No, you cannot.
Okay, now I'm going to read you another quote. I'm sorry for all the quotes.
That's okay.
They're just the best I could do because, like I said, it was kind of hard to compile shit for this one. Yeah. Anyway.
But we had to satisfy Katie's urge to hear about the Monroe House.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's really super interesting. I just had a hard time finding a lot of stuff for it that wasn't trying to point me in the direction of the demon house, the Zach Bagans house in Gary, Indiana. A lot of it was trying to like take me there. And I was like, no, because this is in Hartford City. That's in Gary. They can't be the same place.
They cannot.
Yeah. And this is the Monroe house. That's the Gary demon house.
Yep.
But again, this has been dubbed the demon house. Okay. So this is a quote by Troy Taylor at bumpinthenight.net.
Ooh, I like Bump in the Night.
Do you? Have you read it?
No, I just like the name.
Oh,
now I'm going to.
Do you? Tell me more.
Now I'm going to check it out.
So the history of the Monroe House is murky at best. Records say that the first foundation was laid for the house in the 1860s, while legends maintain that the house has had an ominous atmosphere since the beginning. Occupants were chased from the house by strange sights, sounds, shadowy figures that made their lives unbearable. Truth or fiction? No one surviving can say. But records do say that no one lived in the house for more than a year at a time during its first century in existence. In the 1990s, rumors spread that occult activity in the place, which some believe caused an increase in strange activity. But whatever the reason behind the hauntings, there is only There is only one thing that is nearly all of those who have investigated the building can agree on. There are some serious disturbances in the basement. In 2016, during the quotes paranormal lockdown episode, that's a show, human remains were discovered in the basement crawl space, launching an official police investigation.
So that didn't happen until 2016 when didn't there were some paranormal investigators in the house?
Yep. Ooh, according creepy. To a local funeral director, the remains were, quote, at least 100 years old, but they were sent to Indiana University for further testing. At this point, the identity of the person who was entombed in the, quote, demon house basement remains unknown. Could they explain the frightening activity that has been happening, that has been experienced in the basement? Many believe so, while others don't care. They aren't going back into the house. In 2014, a team of ghost hunters fled the house after a horrific experience in the basement, and they refused to even talk about it. Everyone in the group panicked and ran out of the house, refusing to go back in. Other groups have recorded eerie voices in the basement, while others maintain the rest of the house is just as haunted and terrifying.
Oh. But people live there, so it can't be that bad. Or they made peace with it.
I think they lived there in the beginning. I'm kind of confused. I think they B&B it.
Oh, so now it's a haunted B&B?
I think so. There's a Facebook page. I was kind of confused because they talk about like, oh, we're doing a tour this day or we're doing a tour that day. I don't think that they personally live in it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe that they do. But I know that like they don't just like readily like ghost hunters and kind of a thing either. But I saw like everyday average Joe Schmoes commenting on the Facebook posts being like, I loved my stay here, but it was really weird. I didn't like the puddles in the kitchen sometimes.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the kind of comments that people were leaving. And they weren't like, oh my God, I set up my EVP and I caught somebody saying, fuck you, you know? So paranormal investigators from the Paranormal Quest channel on YouTube stayed the night there. And I watched like a small segment of their video because I don't like those kinds of film styles personally. They make me kind of nauseous and sick to my stomach.
Oh yeah, that live, like when they're bouncing, moving.
Yeah, so I could only watch a few minutes, but I got like the gist of it that it freaked them out too.
they were totes. Scared.
But I have to say something really funny, that these guys reminded me of Ghost Facers from Supernatural.
Now that's my favorite show. That's my go-to.
Yeah, I know.
Like my comfort show.
I know it is.
I'm sick in bed. I can't sleep. Just turn on Sam and Dean.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, these guys reminded me of Ghost Facers.
That's funny.
It is funny. The two main characters, what are they, like Ed and Henry or something like that? I don't remember their names, but something of that nature. I was like, Ghost Facers. So they discussed again how in 2016, Nick and Katrina from Paranormal Lockdown found the human bones that were buried that were over 100 years old in the basement. And they also showed how all the windows from the inside were covered in paper or plastic, which completely, you know, isolates the inside of the house, blocks out the outside world, and blocks out any sunlight from entering.
Right.
So it's just completely isolated on the inside. And they showed the crawl space where the bones were found. And they also caught like an inaudible voice on one of their machines.
Huh.
And it's weird because the crawl space is like carpeted.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it all papered and plasticked windows?
I don't know. Maybe for the haunted essence.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I've stayed at the Stanley Hotel and there was nothing covering any bits of it. And it definitely still got the haunted essence.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it's said that people get chased out of the house by strange sights, sounds, shadowy figures that just make their lives unbearable. Hence why people only live there for a year at a time.
Right.
And since 2012, witnesses have experienced shadowy figures. Sorry, I just bumped the mic. Have experienced shadowy figures, full-bodied apparitions, poltergeist activity, growls, snarls, bangs, footsteps, doors closing, creepy laughter, windows slamming shut with so much force that they shatter.
Wow.
People have been touched. They've gotten pictures of full body apparitions that are both adult and child size, alongside of people being just touched, they're pushed, they're punched, they're scratched, and they're threatened by name.
Wow, that's super creepy.
Yeah, so fucking creepy.
Do you have any pictures of the apparitions?
I'd have to do some digging to see if anybody's posted something somewhere, but I will do my looking.
Please.
I'll get back on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Which I have the name of it written down for their in my notes, but we're not there yet. So people can go look up the Facebook page. On blogcritics.org, they discussed on some newspaper articles that they had found some tenants who had lived there between 1900 to 1940.
So like we're 1 year at a time or 40 different families?
No, just some news stories that they saw.
Oh, okay.
This is kind of confusing to me, so you're just going to have to ride the wave with me on this. So it said that one tenant had a nasty divorce and they had accusations of child abuse, domestic violence, and desertion.
Oh.
And then a prominent Belgian family, the Burger family, which this was confusing to me because the original owner, Burgers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were a Belgian family, Belgian immigrants.
So maybe they're related?
Maybe they're the same people. Maybe they're not. I'm not really sure because I don't know what year the widow sold the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if they're the same people or not. But anyway, it just says this family, which is reported to have the death of a daughter and her infant son during childbirth.
Aww.
Which led, so maybe it is her daughter, their daughter,
mm-hmm.
which led to five other children being raised by their grandma, after their father either died or disappeared. One guy's feet got frostbite in the house.
Oh, wow.
After one man got his foot stepped on by a horse, the other foot got gangrene, which resulted in him having to have his one leg amputated.
He got stepped on by a horse in the house, or he got stepped on by a horse outside the house, and then the foot that wasn't stepped on.
The foot that wasn't stepped on got gangrene.
Well, that I got. But he must have been outside the house when he got stepped on, yeah?
I assume there probably wasn't a horse in the house, so probably. But these are just things that have happened to the tenants. A hate crime led to a near-fatal shooting.
Fucking hate crimes.
Yeah, right. And then this is another tenant in 1940s. We don't know if all those people are related or not above that we just got done talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But another tenant in 1940 drove his car into a support beam of a bridge. And then the beam tore from the bridge. It pierced his car. It impaled him and killed him.
Wow. And he was living in the house at the time?
He was living in the house at the time.
So the whatever it was followed him. Or he was an idiot.
Yeah.
Not to speak ill of the dead.
A lot of things happening, yes,
yes,
in this case. But I feel like it's believable that there's something following him. So there are reports of child apparitions looking out of the windows at the home.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Neighbors report lights turning on and off and conversations and screaming coming from inside the house. And mind you, okay, yeah, so I guess the house probably isn't being lived in by the Norris family.
Mm-hmm.
They must just be renting it out or letting people do paranormal investigations, tours, whatever in it. All I know is that at the moment where it currently sits, it's a triplex.
Okay.
But anyway, but it says that all of this is happening when neighbors are like reporting this, that the house is locked and empty at the time. So this is all happening.
Ugh.
And in 2012, the police were called three times from March to May to report a black figure in the house that was followed by a glow that they thought was a fire. And then when police would go to investigate it, the house would again be locked empty. No, like, smells of smoke, no nothing.
I don't think I'd like to even live next door to that house.
I don't think I would either. I don't think I'd like to be anywhere near that fucking town.
Well, and if I did live next door to that house, I definitely wouldn't look at the house.
Yeah.
I would avert my eyes at all costs all the time.
Right?
Yeah. Because I don't want to see that stuff.
So this is a story from someone named Russ.
Okay.
I've just seen something at the Monroe house. I can't tell you how amazing it is. I kind of believe in ghosts and heard stories of this house, but I'm having a hard time just coming off of the fear. Long story short, I live in town and just moved within a couple blocks of the Monroe house. Like I said earlier, I've heard stories about the house. I guess a child's ghost is said to be haunting the place, but I never knew the location of the building until my new neighbor told me. I drove right past it after work, just happened to look up at the windows, and there it stood. I thought it was black smoke, like the place was on fire. It slid out the window. It's daylight. I could see through it. I still can't believe it. The house is empty. I stopped and just sat there for a few minutes. I don't know what I was seeing.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't think I'd stop. I think I'd gun it.
Yeah, I think I would be the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Considering he's not read the news report, apparently, from 1940 of the man driving in his car. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Russ?
Right.
Pick up a newspaper, man, from the 40s.
Come on, Russ.
Right. But I guess he's not living in the house, so. But still, bystanders. Here's another story from that blog critics site. They tried to compile things of people living in them, and then they talked about how none of these stories can be confirmed. However, notably, they're, you know, aligned with some of the things that they've heard of witnesses. Mm-hmm. So they included them. Here's another story from Blog Tricks.
Okay.
Blog Tricks. Blog Critics. I spent 6 years of my childhood growing up in that house. I was always scared of the strange noises. They were not common, but when it happened, it sure got my attention fast. My mother would comfort me about the sounds and voices as a child, but she mentioned years later about a woman she thought she had seen upstairs near my bedroom. She always wondered if that was the apparition of the woman who had taken her own life decades ago. I, for one, never liked the old house and was happy when we relocated in the early 50s to Muncie.
Muncie, Indiana.
Probably. Yeah.
So someone hung themselves in the house?
Well, there's no recorded suicides at all ever happening.
Okie dokie. I hate that. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate that there's no suicides, but
I hate that nobody has killed themselves in this house.
Damn it. But what I mean is, like, when people see stuff or feel stuff or whatever, and then you can't
find anything.
Yeah, you can't get any confirmation.
Right. Well, maybe a lot of it just never got reported.
Yeah, maybe if it was forever ago.
Yeah, right. So here's another story from Blog Critics. Once upstairs where the smoky figure had been seen, we were unloading our equipment when we saw something in the back of the bedroom clink across the floor. We collected our EVPs upstairs and it told us to get out, die, and pray for us.
Jeez.
Investigating the basement where the story of the child's death due to the fire occurred, the charred beams where the fire started were still visible. While taking pictures of this, the light started to flicker and then went off, leaving us in pitch blackness. Then suddenly, my assistant screamed and ran upstairs and out of the basement. Once outside, she said she felt as though someone had touched her back, and she had 3 deep scratches below her neck.
Ooh, I got chills.
After this, she left and she refused to go back inside.
Yeah, I wouldn't go back inside either.
But this is just a legend. There's no reports of a kid dying due to a fire.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm like, can we have confirmation on a child dying in a fire?
Yeah, we don't have any confirmation. It's just another fucking legend.
So maybe it's real and maybe it's not.
Maybe it's real, maybe it's not.
Hey,
Mom, it's okay. Look what's right behind you.
Uh-huh. We got some sage out here. But literally, I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I know. I don't like it.
I felt the same way earlier when I was looking into it. I feel like now I'm a little bit more desensitized to the information. But when I was doing all this research, yeah, it definitely like made me that like icky feeling in my stomach.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like, oh, I don't like it.
So this is from David Weatherly's blog, and he's a paranormal investigator as well. During our time in the house, shadowy figures darted all around the home. A door was slammed on us as if something was attempting to confine us in a certain area. We experienced equipment issues, watched as a toy activated itself, and had several other strange events. We also heard disembodied voices, some of them children, or at least what we thought sounded like children.
Ugh. I don't like it.
I don't either.
Well, and especially if you can't confirm that kids have died there, or there was a suicide or a fire or any of this. So something happened.
Yeah.
Or multiple somethings happened.
Multiple somethings happened for damn sure. So, like I said, there's a Facebook page run by the owners, the Norrises, Pam and Eddie, and it's called The Mysterious Monroe House Haunting. And like I put this in a question mark, it maybe seems like they rent it out for people to stay in or investigate,
mm-hmm.
or both. Right. And I'm going to leave you off on this last note. I thought this one would be fun to put in the end. Paranormal investigator Tim Wood believes the bones that the investigators found in the house that I was telling you about,
mm-hmm.
were left there on purpose and meant to be found. And this is because there were no documented deaths on the property, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this area, the surrounding area, has a very macabre activity around. And in 1994, in nearby Fort Wayne, 2 Satanists were selling human remains to be used in occult rituals.
What the fuck?
They were busted by an undercover cop posing as a Satanist, and the cop offered them $1,400 for a corpse, and they were arrested for trying to steal a body from a mortuary.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I thought that was a perfect end note of this case.
Wow. Talk about a side hustle.
Right. We break into mortuaries and sell bodies
to undercover cops for $1,400.
$400.
Oh shit, that's really low.
I know, right?
Especially for a dead body.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, all of the effort of breaking into a mortuary
and getting the body.
At least the Vampire of Barcelona, like, had the hustle to kill the people herself. Like, I'm just kidding. That's so grim.
Yeah, that's super grim. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I got...
Got no words.
I don't. And I thought you said $1,400 and now it's only $400.
Yeah, $400.
That's not worth it.
Yeah, no. It's not worth it. God, could you imagine you're just vibing, being dead, chilling on a table and waiting to go to your funeral? And somebody breaks in and fucking steals you and sells you and they, like, do some weird shit to your body to try and, like, lure some shit in. Fuck that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fuck that.
And so they were selling... I'm sorry, I'm really hung up on this part at the moment. So they were selling parts of people?
Yeah, human remains.
Okay, yeah, that's what that means.
For occult rituals.
Yeah, that's... Wow.
I mean, I guess that was the time period of the Satanic Panic.
Yes.
So that makes sense.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like, it just said that was their side job.
And it's also kind of funny that they're just willingly like, yeah, we're Satanists. Selling human bodies.
Well, I feel like during the Satanic Panic, people were really like out with it. Like very, I don't know about the selling human remains part out with it, but people were like, I'm a Satanist. I'm loud. I'm proud.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't there.
I was going to say I lived through it, but I also didn't know any Satanists.
I was going to say, I don't know that if, like, it's like the Islamophobia. Nobody's proud to be Islamic during that time. Isn't that the same thing as the Satanic Panic? It's like Satan phobia. Well, so wouldn't they be afraid of being, like, burned at the stake by some Christians?
I think that the people who really are Satanists practice some sort of religion that doesn't really involve all this occult stuff. And so those people are like, what the fuck with these people who are claiming to be Satanists and stealing corpses and selling human remains.
Right. Some fucking American Horror Story shit.
Yeah. So those people probably are just calling themselves Satanists. And those are the ones that are out loud and proud. And yeah, it's fucking weird.
It is. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah. So I was going to, for my disturbing fact, look up some stuff, some hauntings for the Rupert House, because that's what I said I was going to do.
Right.
And I couldn't really find anything, so it wasn't, like, enough to, like, do a disturbing fact. But I will tell you that after, I said it in the story, that after a year afterwards, everything was auctioned off, people came in, got the stuff, and then a family moved in that didn't have any idea of the history of the house. And so they reported hearing strange sounds and voices and et cetera. And so they moved out of the house. And there were multiple kind of stories of the same thing, but there wasn't any real like detail. But someone did post on some blog about the Rupert House, and the guy's name was Eric. And I didn't write the blog down, and I'm sorry. But he said that he lived in the house as a child. And that there, it's a two-bedroom house, and so he had to share a bedroom with his sister. And that one night they were sleeping, and the hall light came on, and so the mom went out to see what was up, and the kids were sleeping. And then he said shortly after that, he moved down to the basement, which I don't know why you would move down to the basement. When, remember how I said the support beams were stained with blood?
Yeah, they had currently blood drip through them.
Yeah, they're currently stained with blood from the massacre.
So did he know the history?
Yeah, they did know the history, because then the dad, like him and the dad were in the basement, and the mom and the daughter were going, the mom and the sister had gone to the laundromat to do laundry, and they heard someone like open the door, come in the house. They heard footsteps walking through the house. Dad gets his gun, goes and looks, there's nobody there. And so shortly after that, they moved out of the house, which
I don't blame them.
Yeah, no shit. I would not stay.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah. But after 2014, there haven't been any reported hauntings in that house. So maybe the spirits have settled and rested. And I was kind of thinking, well, maybe it was because he died, but he didn't die until 2022. And so it doesn't correlate with his death. But currently there's a family living there and they have nothing. Which is good.
Which they say, or did they say that they have nothing?
Did they openly say that they had nothing?
Yeah, they openly said that they have not experienced anything, but that the bloodstains are still in the basement and they know the macabre history of the house, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is weird. And that would have been kind of cool if I had more. And then I didn't know that you were doing the Monroe house. And I would have done that for my disturbing fact. Because Mike, the headless chicken doesn't really tie into a haunted house. But hey, it is what it is.
Right? It's cool. But we like Mike, the headless chicken.
Yeah.
So great guy. Poor guy. All right. Well, what'd you think?
I think it's interesting. But I want to know more.
Well, we can watch, like, the episodes.
Of what?
Of the
Ghost Chasers?
Paranormal Quest. Of, like, the paranormal lockdown and stuff like that. So the article that I read said that Tim Wood, that from that blog critics, was getting ready to investigate the house.
Okay.
So she was,
and what year was that?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so but maybe. It was really hard. I had to, like, do a lot of digging to find shit on this one.
I hate that when you can't really.
I was, like, nothing I found in, like, not even all of it made a ton of sense either.
Well, and I hate.
But that. I guess hauntings don't make sense.
Well, but I hate that there's no, like, confirmation, like I said, of a hanging or a fire or something.
Where did you get the idea of hanging?
Because you said that a woman, killed herself. They didn't specifically, I'm channeling that she hung herself.
I was like, I never said that she hung herself. Were you there?
No, but apparently that's what I'm picking up.
You didn't report it.
No, but that's what I'm picking up.
Okay, creepy and weird.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. What color is she wearing? What color dress?
Black.
Oh, I never said anything about that. I have no idea.
Actually, it was red.
No. Right.
Well, no, because there's no confirmation of that.
Right.
So, anyway, yeah, I like it, except for I hate all the, well, I don't know. Well, and not on your part, but like, I get it.
Yeah. It was just hard to find things.
Yeah.
I even looked on TikTok.
Wow.
Yeah.
The ultimate source for information.
Or the least ultimate.
For this case, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was just everything on TikTok was like, this house is haunted. This is the most they believe it is the most terrifying and haunted house in Indiana. Which I don't know how it tops the Gary house, but.
Yeah, because that has a whole documentary about it.
Right. Well, so does this.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
A documentary?
Shows have been made about it.
Yeah. Okay. Alrighty then.
Yeah, but like I said, the running around and moving and stuff like that while the camera's shaking makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I can't do it.
So I can't do those.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
You're
much
welcome.
Appreciated.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I've been watching that again too. Awkward. Love you. All right, Mom. What's the drill?
Oh gosh. Follow us on our Instagram. That's Disturbing Pod at That's Disturbing Podcast.
Good job.
Yep. And we have a Gmail. That's disturbingpodcast@gmail.com. So you could write us a case request there. You could DM us on Instagram, or you could go to the beautiful website that Daphne created,
https://, or it's /// thatsdisturbingpodcast.com.
You forgot www.
Fuck. One of us always has to fuck something up. We really need a script. We need somebody to print us a poster of a script in size 400 font on our wall for our outro, being like, follow us here.
Do this, do that. But any hoodles, on the website, there is a case request form.
Hey, it's cool. You're just can fill putting out the words together. There's a case form. Saved us a step.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thank you. Happy 4th of July. Be safe. Don't blow off your hand or set your house on fire or your neighbor's house on
fire. Maybe don't do anything crazy to make people's dogs upset.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
That makes me sad. I will be holding my dog who could very well have a heart attack. She has heart disease. She's 10. She's really not in best shape ever.
Poor pig.
So I'll be holding her tonight.
And she's not the one that got stung by a bee. Just
no,
FYI.
She isn't.
That's a different one. That's Winnie.
That's Winnie.
All right. Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.